Now, I'm going to speak very frankly and say, as I get around over the country, the greatest, the most criticism I hear of you is that everything is political. And I think the most political thing you could do, the Republicans are charging you with having that in the, behind the door anyway, I think the most political thing you could do would be to go before the American people and just state forthrightly, yes, though it might not be the political thing to do, you could say, that nevertheless the nation comes first and our national economy is threatened with instability and uncertainties, and you are requesting this of the Congress, and though you cannot really expect it to be enacted before election, I would ask them to come back after the election. Now, why do I say I would do that? Number one, it adds to your own political credibility before the country.
Don't you have to have a reason for it, though, before you can do it?
Yes, well, you've got ample reasons.
I haven't yet, because I'm taking in $8 billion more than I'm spending. But until I get these appropriation bills, until I get these requests...
You know you're going to have a supplemental appropriation bill.
Well, we do if the war goes beyond June 30th. But we have no idea how much. Westmoreland said I had him at the ranch 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. And he says we have to wait till October to see what they do. If they don't have a victory in October and you don't give them a victory in the November elections, why, you better watch out. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I don't know what's going to happen there. I had a good break last week, but it blew up into nothing. We got two feelers this morning. We just don't know. But we know we've got ample money and a surplus to run us to June 30th. But if we have to order all these new planes and have to order new helicopters and order new tanks and order all new stuff, we've got to have $5 to $15 billion. And we don't know how much. Now, I thought that I'd wait until you got your appropriation bills. Wayne Morris added $1 billion to education last week. I don't know what the Congress is going to do. George Mahon says that it'll get to me not over $1 billion, over the budget. If it does, I've got a balanced budget. If it goes $8 billion, as Charlie Shultz said yesterday, it could, depending on House actions and Senate actions. For instance, you've got poverty. I don't know what poverty is going to do. I'd like for it to stay right on the budget, $1.7 billion. But they've added $500 million in the Senate committee. And they're going to, Bobby Kennedy said, they're going to add $300 million more before it's reported. I asked Mike last night. He doesn't know. I asked him if he thought the Senate would approve any more for cities. They asked for $50 billion, Lindsay did, and then got up to $1 trillion. And I just don't know what's going to be offered. But anyway, if I told Mike and McCormick, if they'd give me the appropriation bills for the next week or 10 days, that I'd try in 2 weeks, not over 30 days, to cut all I could cut out of them, and then come up and say, here's how much you're over. You're over, say, $5 billion. I've got to have another $10 billion. For Vietnam, that's $15 billion. I've got six of it that's going to come in extra revenue, so I need $9 billion, so give me a bill of $10 billion. Now, I can do that. I'm ready to do it, willing to do it, the moment I know. Should I do it before I know? That was my problem, and that's what looks political. That's been my great nemesis. I just honestly don't know. I asked them last night for them to speculate. Dirksen speculates it won't be over a couple of billion. He says he's going to hold it down. But the budget says they've already sent me over $2 billion. So there's my problem.
Well, I would...
When do I do it? I think I'm in better shape if the Congress does add on $5 billion. And then I send McNamara out to Vietnam, and he comes back and says, I've got to have $7 billion more. If it goes beyond June, and it looks like it will go beyond June, to come up and say, I need 12, and I've got to say 5, so I need 7 more, or whatever it is. Then I've got something I can get my teeth in. Now, none of the Defense Department, none of them want to testify on a supplemental this year because they say they don't know. It's just too, they can't guess how many bombs they're dropping and how many planes are shooting down this early. But I think I've reached a point. My own political hunch is very much like yours. I think the papers and the columnists and our enemies, both Republican and a good many Democrats, so almost a solid number. I've really got nobody speaking up for me. I believe most of them feel that I really know that I've got to have so much taxes, but I just don't want to ask for them before election for afraid I'll be defeated. I don't give a damn. I'm not going to be defeated. And I'm not running for anything, and if they beat some of these fellas, I guess it'd be to my interest. But all I want to do is to do what's right. But I really honestly don't know. I have on my desk this morning a prognosis from the budget. And they're old, experienced career people. Now, they're a little bit conservative for you and me sometimes. But they say it'll run between 2 and 8. On the same desk, I've got a letter from George Mahon, says it won't run but $389 million. That's his guess. But there are 8 bills that haven't been acted on. Now, I wouldn't think that Wayne Morris's billion-dollar aid to education would stand up. But Mike Mansfield told me last night he didn't know it might.
Well, it might ought to.
Well, I'm not debating the merits. All I can do, I can ask for $1 billion more in taxes. If it does, that gets me off, and I'm not Jim Webb says he's got to have 500 to $1 billion more, or he's out of the race space, and he's in last night. I've got all those problems. I'm not going into their merits. If I could just tell what the Congress does. Now, I've made my recommendations to them. I know what I want to do. I want 113. But the budget says that with Vietnam, it can easily run 125 to 130. Now, that depends on what the Congress does. Now, should I act before they act? I think not. So I told them, please, fellas, give the highest priority, the number one priority. Let's just give the highest priority to the appropriation bill. I even asked them to give me a resolution saying that this $60 billion appropriation bill, they'd agreed upon the dollars, because Dick and Mendel are fighting about the guard. And if they just freeze the dollars, you see, well, that wouldn't get up to cut back, then I'd know whether I could hold back the anti-missile. They're starting a $20 billion weapon system there, and they got $1 billion in this year for that.
Well, I would lean, you've got some imponderables, but you've also got some probabilities. The strong probability is that the Congress will exceed your budget. It always does. You've got a very strong presumption that the war is not going to come to an end by June 30th. And even if it did, you have a rehabilitation program over there that will be enormously costly.
No, but we'll have a surplus if it comes to an end.
Well, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, we'll that's the danger. We had $12 billion Korea, and he hopes he can keep it to 3 or 4.
But
that's why we. I think those two original statements of yours, though, are reasoned and good. I think it the weight of the evidence is that Congress will exceed it. That's
right.
Number one. The weight of the evidence is that the Vietnam will exceed it.
Then
now, do I move on the weight of the evidence, or do I move until I get the evidence when I'm within a month of doing it?
Well, I think timing here is very important.
That's right. That's what
now,
I'm talking about.
Now, I start to say that there were two reasons why I would lean toward doing it now. One is your own political credibility with the country. The other is that the longer you wait, the more of these weak-kneed candidates are going to commit themselves against any tax increase.
Well, they think, now my advisors tell me that the moment I announce that I want a tax increase, that the Republican in 435 districts is going to say, are you for Johnson's high tax bill? The poor fellow running is going to say no. So you're going to get him committed where you will not get a tax bill. If you hadn't got him committed, you could pass it in January. Now, I don't know.
Now, that's, of course, it's a question of judgment. My guess is that if the Democratic candidate is aware of your recommendations, you've made it, you've gone before the country, and you've laid out the dangers to our economy and to the average man in undermining his investment and his chance of buying a home, my guess is that fewer of them will commit themselves against it than it is a big bugaboo that every Republican's going to build up anyway. They're going to accuse Johnson of having a big tax bill behind the door, and as soon as he gets his Democratic Congress elected, then he's going to pull it out and force it down their
throat.
They're
doing that. They're doing that, and they're doing it rather effectively. But
the question is,
I could probably pass it if these guys don't get committed against me, because I don't believe they're going to win when I get my information. But my theory has been this, that I know I've got to have what I've got. I'm not sure of that till I see what the business indexes show. Wilbur and all of his crowd even got word yesterday, and all the stories this morning, if you'll see, the business people are trying to play down, say we're having big drops and everything. But he had the Federal Reserve up testifying all afternoon yesterday whether or not we weren't more likely to get into a recession than we were to get in a depression. But I thought that I could take these first two steps pretty strong. Get me the sun out of there. Now, I thought by the time I took them, I could rush through my appropriation bill. Then I could say, because you've done this and Republicans have voted for it, it's been bipartisan. These appropriation bills passed unanimously, practically. It's obvious we've got to have money. And for that reason, I've got to send you another tax bill.
Well, of course, that's one approach you arrive at.
Here's the lead this morning in the Sun. President Johnson's bill to suspend a 7% investment grade was feared on Capitol Hill today to be in danger of being killed under an avalanche of amendments. Virtually every member of the House Ways and Means, both Democrats and Republicans, has at least one industry he wants exempted from the provision. Topping the list, which most members feel should be exempted, are freight cars. One committee source said that even the chairman feels the railroad industry made a good case, the Association of American Railroads, and so on and so forth.
Well, Wilbur can hold that. You never have a bill up that every member doesn't have something in his pocket to exempt. This is not a new situation, and a lot of them succeed. But that's one reason why, Mr. President, I was suggested to you right in the very beginning. The first suggestion I made was for you to get you some a good public relations man there. You're about as good of one as I know, but
no, I'm not.
Find some way to dramatize this thing. And
Albert, all the papers are against us pretty well. I dramatized it. I called a press conference. I had a TV press conference. I spoke, I had Fowler speak, and I had everyone. We're not very good speakers, but we all did the best we could. When Martin raised this thing on us, we all pointed out that he jumped the gun, that he did it the morning before, that we'd all agreed that we didn't agree with it, that we thought it ought to wait and try to get all these things. But they just denounced me. They just said Johnson trying to take over Federal Reserve. And a few weeks while then, it went the other way. We don't do in the White House, well, this is not the purpose of this call for me, not to point out my errors. I just want to get your thinking. And I'm getting a good deal of it, and it's helpful how inadequately we handle public relations. But we don't handle it well, because first of all, we got the networks pretty much against us. Second of all, they feel that they got to hit it at president that's in and so forth. Third, the Republicans and some of the liberal Democrats are hitting at us. We don't do many things right to begin with. And fourth, the attrition of a president in office, it weighs on you, and it cuts you down. And the Wall Street Journal every morning, the New York Times every morning, the Post most of the mornings, are
pointing out what we do wrong and not what we do right. Now, the whole stories this morning are that we're heading toward depression. Too abrupt a reversal of credit policy. And they're afraid that we're